As you and I know, the Christian's faith is a singing faith. When we are saved, we get something very special. We get a new song within our hearts. And we sing because of salvation. We sing because of what the Lord has done for us. Now, when we find singing in Scripture, it is usually pointing to times of rejoicing. Times when the Lord has met with His people and done again something wonderful in the lives of His people. Of course, singing is also connected to our worship of God. We have sang the hymns this morning. It's been part of our morning worship. We love to sing the hymns in our worship to God. But the problem in our reading today is this. You see, the Lord's people have been carried away into captivity. We have to ask the reason why. The answer is very simple. It's as a result of their sin, a result of their disobedience, they had lost their song. And you know, it's very sad that we're living in a day when many of God's people have lost their song. They do not have the joy. They do not have that excitement. They do not have that devotion towards God that they should have and that they once had. Following David's repentance, and I'm sure you know the story well, but following David's repentance, David prayed. And David asked the Lord to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. In other words, David was saying to the Lord, give me back my song. It wasn't that David had lost relationship with God, but due to sin in his life, he had lost the joy of the Lord. And friend, the joy of the Lord should accompany a right relationship with God. The song in the heart should accompany a right relationship with God. Can I ask you perhaps a very personal or maybe even a pertinent question this morning? Have you lost your song? Have you lost your song? If you have, and you're sitting with us in the meeting today, can I ask you another question? Who or what has taken your song away? There's always a reason when someone loses their song. You see, for David, it was his disobedience toward God. For Israel, it was their pride and their rebellion. Friends, we're living in a day and we need to live very carefully. We're living in a day that we could very, very easily lose our song. I want to encourage you this morning how to keep your song. I want to encourage you this morning and warn you this morning of those things that can steal away your song. And they're all very, very simple. The first thing I want you to say is this. I want to say to you is this. Do not let life's problems take away your song. You see, friends, we, as we journey through life, we will have problems. That goes without saying. We will have troubles. We will have trials. We will have tribulation. We will have worries. We will have cares. That goes without saying, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he warned us of this He says in John chapter 16, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What is happening here is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us, and he's doing it very, very, very strongly, that while we are in this old world, we will have all of these things. We will have tribulation. We will have trials. We will have heartaches. We will have troubles. We will have problems. You see, friends, this is a fact of life. There is no exception. This is rather the rule of life for the believer. We, as God's people, will suffer many, many, many things. There are some people who very foolishly think that when you become a Christian, you don't have any more problems. When you become a Christian, that your problems and your worries and your cares, they're like butterflies. They all take wings and they fly away. And you never have another problem. It's a load of rubbish. I tell people on many occasions, I always believed there was a devil. But I wasn't saved a fortnight till I thought there was half a dozen of them. Things were so bad. Friends, we will have trouble as we go through this old life. James reminded us that we are to count it joy when we find ourselves in the midst of all sorts of trials. Peter, he explained that the trials come to perfect our faith. Some might say, and some do say, in the middle of their troubles, well, what's the point of going on? You see, there are people, and they are burdened down more than perhaps anybody else. And you'll say, you know, there's people there, and they just seem to have trouble after trouble after trouble. And some people get to this stage in life, they'll say, well, I just can't be bothered anymore. Persecution, tribulation, problems. But friends, these are all part of God's plan for us as believers. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The Lord says, you will have tribulation. The Lord says, you will have trials. But there's a but in that verse of Scripture. And when there is a but, we must pay particular attention as to what comes after it. And the Lord is saying to us here, forget about what comes before it. I want you to concentrate on what comes after the but. He says, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Friends, don't dwell upon your heartaches and problems. I know it's hard to get away from them. Don't dwell upon your troubles and your trials. The Lord is saying to this morning to you and to me, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, there's an old song that even in our unsaved days I used to sing it. It says, "This world is not my home. I am just passing through." And how true that is. Sometimes we sing things and we don't realize what we're singing. But how true that is, friends. We may face many difficulties. We may face many trials in this life. But there's one thing you and I must keep in mind. For us, the children of God, this world is only temporary. For those of us who are saved, when we are born again, We have a wonderful victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a victory that is. What a victory is yours this morning. What a victory is mine this morning. Look at John chapter 14, where the Lord comes to encourage us. And he says to you and me this morning, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friends, this old life will be but a grain of sand compared to eternity. And what God has prepared for us, his people, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So when life problems comes your way, friends, what do? Keep your eyes on the Lord and keep on singing. The second thing I want us to consider is this. Don't let life's pain take your song away. Now we know that pain comes in many, many, many fashions and in many forms. You see, physical pain and suffering will come to us all in the flesh. We get aches. We get pains, weaknesses. They're all part of our human existence. You say to me, Joe, tell me all about it. You want to see me trying to get out of bed this morning? I got one foot out and I didn't know whether I had another one or not. And that's the way it is sometimes when we waken up in the mornings. When we were young, we thought we were invincible, didn't we? Why, we're bulletproof. Nothing can happen to us. We could run all day and run all night. And we never had a neck nor a pain. But the more birthdays we have, and I believe I've had two this year, they're coming that quick, they're close to each other. The more birthdays that we have, and the more mileage that goes on to these old bodies, the more pain there is. And then when you get pain, you get complaining. Isn't that right? And no amount of complaining will relieve the pain. Sometimes you'll say to somebody, well, how are you? And it's the biggest mistake you've made. So don't ask me how I am unless you've been an hour and a half to spend or to spare, and I'll tell you all about myself. But isn't it a fact that pain and sorrow comes to us and we can hardly move, and sometimes we just love somebody to say, how are you? And then we tell them, we get it all out. And it does help. Friends, pain and sorrow remind us of sin. Listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 3. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. I believe that very often the emotional pain and sorrow that we experience can take away our song. Many of us today have had that experience. Emotional pain and sorrow is harder to deal with than physical pain. When your heart has been broken, when someone that you've loved so well here on earth has been snatched from you, it's hard to bear. And again, we speak from experience. But friends, all again we can say is this. Whatever it is, it's all part of God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. And it is hard to bear. So in such situations, all I can say to you is this. that you have a God who is the God of all comfort and who is the God of all grace. Never, never forget that. When we're going through times of pain and sorrow, we need to be comforted, don't we? But the comfort that the child of God needs can only come from God. But I believe that God sometimes uses our pain and uses our sorrow to prepare us to be able to minister to others. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, listen, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Friends, there's one thing that pain and sorrow does for the child of God. It makes us realize our great dependence upon God, how much we need Him. And oh, today, don't we need His presence? Today, don't we need His comfort? I know you've been like me, perhaps, and I have looked at people going through hard times, people who are not Christians, people who are not saved, and sometimes you look at the people and you'll say, how can they cope without the Lord? How do people go through situations without the Lord? Friends, when we hurt, we long to be consoled by someone who understands. There's sometimes people will come and they'll shake their hand and they'll say, we're thinking about you, we know what you're going through, and they haven't a clue. Because they've never been there themselves. We family who lived in Belfast, in one of the wee side streets off the Donegal Road, a little girl, the only girl in the family, the only child in the family, 9 years of age, was out on her bicycle and got hit with a van and was killed stone dead. And that father broke his heart. And 2 years later, in a street just next to where his was, the very same thing happened. A wee girl, 9 years of age, was hit again with a car and killed stone dead. And that father was able to go round to that parent and put his arms around him and say, I know how you feel. And he did, because he had been there before. Friends, God gives us the ministry of comfort to be able to come alongside someone who is hurting and share the comfort of God with them. It's not a wonderful thing to be able to do. The ministry of comfort is a wonderful ministry. So when pain and sorrow comes our way, what do? Keep your eyes on the Lord, friends, and keep on singing. In sorrow, He's my comfort. In trouble, He's my stay. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. And don't let pain take away your song. And finally, I want you to consider with me, don't let life's people take away your song. Now, this is a difficult one. This is a hard one. The Savior says, now, therefore, ye now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The longer I live, and the older I get, the more I am convinced of the total depravity of man. Now, depravity speaks of the fallen nature of mankind. And the Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And I believe that. And when you see what people can do to one another, how can you not understand this biblical truth, the total depravity of man? People seem to enjoy hurting one another. People are so cruel to one another. You cannot pick up a newspaper without reading about some terrible act of cruelty. Turn on your television to the news and you'll hear of some atrocity that someone has committed against some other person. And to me, there's nothing so sad when you see a group of young people gathered around another young person on the ground. And they're kicking and they're stamping and they're doing all that they possibly can to do as much damage to that young person as they possibly can. They want to hurt. But sad to say, it isn't just the ungodly who hurt other people. For even Christian people hurt one another as well. You'll say, well, Joe, how do they do that? Well, perhaps they will talk and gossip about other people. And perhaps they'll even tell a lie about other Christians. And that is very, very sad. Friends, let me say this to you this morning. People will fail us. And people will forsake us. And people will abuse us. And people will disappoint us. People, they will do what we never imagined they could do. They will do perhaps what the ungodly wouldn't do to us. When we were at school, we used to shout at each other, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me." That's not right. Names do hurt. The tongue can hurt. But God promises to be there for us even when others forsake thee. For he has said, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You see, Psalm 27 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Can you picture it? The Lord taking us up. This is the picture of a loving heavenly Father with outstretched arms who's drawing us close to himself. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Friends, don't let people take away your song. Keep your eyes on the Lord and keep on singing. Don't let life's problems take away your song. Don't let life's pain take away your song. Don't let life's people take away your song. Don't be like Israel. All Israel could say, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Is there someone this morning and you're in that strange land of backsliding? You're far, far away from the Lord. You'll say to me, as a Christian this morning, "Joe, I want to keep on singing." You keep on singing. Sing it loud and sing it clear. And don't let anything take away your song. Now perhaps there's someone this morning in the meeting and you don't have that song because you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, it's God who gives the song. It is God who puts a song in our hearts. It is God who gives us a reason to sing. And I am talking about the song of redemption. The song of the soul set free. And when you place your faith, when you place your trust in the finished work of Christ in Calvary, he will put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God. Friends, May the Lord help us to keep on singing. Because for all the Lord has done for us, we never should cease to praise Him. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts as we sing our final hymn this morning.